Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed. We're holding the top line on the omid, where the Gemara begins, Idach the Omarav. Now, what is this referring to, Idach the Omarav? As you recall, back on the omid days of yesterday, Chof Tes omid days, the Gemara said, we're looking at 2, 3, 6 lines from the bottom of the omid, Omar of Yosef, Hani Tarti Mili Omarav Bisvarim. The following two halachas Rav said, involving Sifrei Torah, V'tanya Tiyufte. On each one of them, there was a kasha that the Gemara is going to pose from a brisa. Choda, one of them was Hodi Yom Rav, Sefer Torah, Sheishboi, Shtei Tuyes, B'chol Daf Adaf Yisakin, Sholosh Yigonez. So Rav distinguished between two mistakes and three. Two mistakes can be fixed. Three you can't fix, just put it into Geniza. But there's a Feirush Braisa on the spot that says no on these specific dinim. Sholosh Yisakin, three you can fix. Arba Yigones. So therefore, Rav has a Tiyufte Ikasha from that Braisa, and the Gemara did not attempt to answer it. The Gemara just left it there. As we know, a Tiyufte on Rav is not irrevocable, irreversible, irremediable. Because even though it says Tiyufte, Rav Tanahu Palik. Strange that the Gemara doesn't just answer that, but we had the same situation, as you recall, back on Daf Hey, Omid Aleph, where there too the Gemara said Tiyufte de Rav, second Toises on the top of the Omid and Hey Omid Aleph, and Toises says, Have a Motzila Meimar, Rav Tanahu Palik. The Gemara could have said that Rav argues. Like the Gemara says in other spots. So, in other words, the Mesabri Hashas were not makbid. Sometimes they would go and spell it out, Rav Tanu Palik, and sometimes they would just leave it to Yufte, you know, figure it out on your own. Anyway, so that was one halacha of Rav of yesterday and one Tiyufte. And now, Idach, top of Lamed Omer Aleph, the Omer Rav, HaKosef Sefer Torah, Uba Ligmar. You have a Sofer, he's writing a whole Sefer Torah, and now he's about to get to the end of Sefer Dvarim. He wants to end. Goyimer b'afilu b'emtza hadaf. You don't have to dafka go and be goyimer on the bottom of the daf meaning the column. He can finish in the middle of the column. No problem. Frank Timur Meisfeld ask you a kasha on Rav from the following Braisa. Hakoisev Sefer Torah, person who's a sofer, he's writing a sefer, bo loy ligmar, now he wants to end, lo yegmar be'emtza daf, he shouldn't go and end in the middle of the column, kiderach shegoyme b'chumashim, like one would end at the end of chumashim, but rather, ele mekatzer v'hoylech ad soif hadaf, rather what he should do is, he should try to finish at the bottom of the daf, and even though there's still a lot of space, what he needs to do, therefore, is being makatzer, shorten every one of the lines until you get to the end of the daf. And if you take a look in the picture in the Rashi, you make what's an inverse pyramid. The top of the final daf of the Sefer Torah, you start writing it normally. Then you quickly realize, I don't have enough words and psukim left until the very, very bottom. So then you keep on shortening each line slowly but surely so that you can finish eventually on the very bottom of the daf like the Braisa requires. So now you see immediately that this is not like what Rav said, because Rav says, the Omer Rav, HaKoysa Sefer Torah Bo Ligmar, Goymer Vafilu B'Emtza Daf. You can go and finish off in the middle of the daf. While the Braisa says, HaKoysa Sefer Torah, Lo yigmar b'emtza daf, you're not allowed to. Keder shagun b'chumshin, like you finish off b'chumshin. We'll see what that means momentarily. Don't do like you're going b'chumshin. Ela mikatzer b'hoylech. Go make each line a little bit narrower, atzif daf, until you get to the end of the daf. Is l'choyre akasha on Rav from this braisa? Everything mar ki koma Rav b'chumshin. Rav, when he was talking about, he meant chumshin. What means chumshin? So Rashi explains that Chumshin over here means, as we know, every single Sefer Torah has 5 Chumashim, Breishish Shmois V'ikram Aminbar Tvarim. However, that's not what the Gemara is referring to at the moment. The Gemara is assuming at the moment that we're talking about individual Sifrei Torah, which are not encompassing all 5 Chumshin, but only 1 Chumash at a time. Think in terms of modern day chumashim that you can go and get a whole chumash containing the entire chamisha chumash Torah brachos through Devarim, or you can go and get sets where you have five volumes brachos, Shmos, Vayikra, five separate volumes. Here the chumash we're talking about five separate volumes. But in the good old days, they didn't have printing presses like we have today, so everything was written by hand. And in particular, says Rashi, these chumshin were written ke gilyon, or big gilyon, ke sefer Torah. In other words, instead of having what we have today, a full sefer Torah, which has from Bereishis through the end of Dvarim, they were sofrim that would write individual Bereishis scrolls, and Shmois scrolls, and Vayikra scrolls. They, of course, do not have the same sanctity, the same Kedusha as a full Sefer Torah. But nevertheless, they had the Kedusha of individual Chumashim. Ah, so therefore says the Gemara, when Rav said that you can be Goymer, afilu be'em tzadav, he meant when you are writing a Chumash, for instance, of Bereishis, and Bereishis ends off, v'yisim b'roim b'mitzroyim, chazak, chazak. So that's the very end of Sefer Bereishis, end of Parshas Vayichi, and the same thing is at the end of the Yaakov Pekudei, the end of Shmois, the Chol Mas Ehem, and so on and so forth. Each one of those Chumashim, with the exception of Dvarim, when you're writing out the Bereishis and the Shmois Vayikra and Bamidbar, you can end off in the middle of the Daf. That is what Rav was referring to. Now, on the surface, that sounds good, but there's a problem. If you go back to the beginning, the Omer Rav, first and second line, Omer Rav, HaKoysev Sefer Torah uBoligmar Koymer Felubi Emtzadav, doesn't say that he's writing Chumashim. He's writing a Sefer Torah. And if you're writing a Sefer Torah, says Rav, that's okay. You can finish Emtzadav. But the Brisa says Befeirish Nishtazoy. According to Sefer Torah uBoligmar Lo Yigmar Emtzadav Kedersha Koymer B'Chumashim. You can't do it like when you do those individual Chumashim, where you can stop in the middle of the daf, you have to go and end at the bottom of the daf. So we wanted to give a teretz. Rav is not talking about a sefer teretz, he's talking about chumashim. But Rav says sefer teretz, because it's sefer teretz. Everything more bechumshin shall sefer teretz. What Rav is really referring to is not separate chumash scrolls of separate bereishis or a separate shmos scroll, but rather he's talking about taka sefer teretz. But in the Sefer Torah itself, you have from Bereishis through Devarim, and each one of the five Svarim ends somewhere, says Rav, there you don't have to be makbid that Bereishis goes all the way on the last line. And Shmois ends all the way in the last line. There it can end in the middle of the Amud. Then you skip four lines, and then you start the next, and you continue on to Shmois. So when you finish Shmois, skip a few lines, you go on to Vayikra, and so on and so forth. However, when you're talking about the final one of the bottom, there ain't chanami. Rav is masking, you have to go all the way to the bottom of the page, meaning of the column. So kikom Rav b'chumshin. Pray tomorrow sefer Torah. Kikom b'chumshin shol sefer Torah. Pray tomorrow ain't yivam Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba Omer Rav Gil Omer Rav. The same Rav says la'ene ko Yisrael, which is the very end of Devarim, as everybody knows. And Rav said, Be'em Tzadav, you can write it even Be'em Tzadav. So now here, you cannot go and explain that Rav really meant separate Chumash scrolls, or in the Sefer Torah, each one of the individual Chumshin, in other words, ending off Bereishis or Shmois, Eretzach L'Einik HaYisrael, this is the very end of the Sefer Torah. He says, Be'em Tzadav. Everything Marahi Be'em Tzashita Itmar. Really, you have to go and amend the Braisa, or not the Braisa, the member of Rav, that Rav didn't say Be'emtza Daf, he said Be'emtza Shita. That means Be'emtza Shita. Be'emtza Shita means in the middle of the line. So therefore what Rav is saying is, when we're talking about that you can do it in the middle, we don't mean in the middle of the column, which, let's say, on line 10 or line 20, you have to do all the way to the bottom. But when you're doing it on the final line, the words Einiko Yisrael don't have to end at the end of the line. They can end in the middle of the line. Bam the shita. Okay. So then that's no longer shver for the braisa, because the braisa told me emtza adav, and here we're talking about the emtza shita. But now there's in fact a machloikis what Rav really held and how he re-explains or how he explains this braisa. Rabbanan Amri af bi emtza shita. When Rav said emtza shita means even or in addition to, what does that mean? So Rashi parallel to our Gemara. Af be'emtza shita ube'emtza hadaf. Rav Tak meant both in the middle of the column as well as in the middle of that line in the column. That being the case, we have a kasha from that braisa, because the braisa says, a koisa sefer Torah, you gotta end on the last line. And if you have too few words, do that inverse pyramid till you get down to the bottom line. And then Rav therefore would have a tiyuvta from this braisa, just like we had yesterday, that the Rav Yosef brought two memris of Rav, and he said, we have a tiyufta from a braisa. Just like yesterday, we had an unresolved tiyufta from a braisa. Here too, according to Rabbanon, Rav would have an unresolved tiyufta. Or like the Tosi said back in Daf Hey, Rav Tanu Palig, Nishkefelech. What Rav Ashi Omar? No. Be'em Teshita Dafka. What does it mean, Be'em Teshita Dafka? Says Rashi, V'loi Be'em Tzahadaf. Rav ulta hold is supposed to go to the bottom of the daf, just like we had in the braisa, go to the bottom, and if necessary, go and do it with that inverse pyramid form. And when it says be'emtza, it means be'emtza shita, only. The word dafka means like l'chud, only emtza shita. He does not mean be'emtza hadaf. Rav is maskim to the braisa. If Rav is maskim to the braisa, then therefore the kasha that we have for the braisa is resolved. They're both saying the same thing. I, Rav, said, be'emtza hadaf, he didn't mean be'emtza hadaf, he meant be'emtza shita, or he said be'emtza shita. So that is the pshat of Ravashi. So now we have a machlokes between Rabbanan and Ravashi. What did Rav really mean? Behilchas and halacha is be'emtza shita dafka. You can only end off in the middle of the line, but you have to end off at the end of the daf. So any of you that have ever participated in a ksiva sefer Torah, you'll always recall that we're talking about that the last few lines were always on the bottom. You never find them at the top or in the middle of that final column. But you could end Lein Kol Yisrael in the middle of the line. It did not have to end all the way at the end of the line.
I understand that within a line you could have a certain amount of variability, but usually a Sefer Torah is written by looking at an existing kosher Sefer Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So how could these problems arise? If a sofer is using that as a guide, wouldn't that protect them from making these types of mistakes?
Most sofrim today are sofrim mumchim. They do a very, very good job. Every once in a while you'll see an old Sefer Torah from even the pre-war, and you'll see that they are not written as correctly as our sofrim are today. In fact, there were towns in Europe where they were quite famous, and unfortunately many, if not most of the sofrim weren't even Shomer Shabbos. They would go and write, can you believe it? Yes. There are stories told about sofrim that they were going and smoking cigarettes on Shabbos, and at the same time they were writing the Sefer Torah. And then they would ask, the story is told, either Chofetz Chaim or someone asked the sofer, who's going to go buy a Sefer Torah like that? You know, if you're not Shomer Shabbos, huh? He says, in America there are plenty of koyim. They would go and send them here to America. And unfortunately, many of the, especially the Reform and conservative, but even those people who were Amaratzim, they came from the shuls, even from the Orthodox shuls, they can get a nice, cheap Sefer Torah. So, unfortunately, many of them were not written the way they're supposed to. But even if you're talking about a Sefer who is an Erlich Sefer, not all of them have the best handwriting, and not all of them can go and fit in. Every once in a while, you can see by new Svarim, you see at the end of the line they're sticking out an extra letter or two into the empty space in the margin. Not that the person is a bad guy, he just wasn't able to.
It's marginal in terms of.
Yeah, it's only a marginal problem and a marginal comment. Yeah. But anyway, but the point is that some sofrim cannot write as well as the real experts, and so therefore sometimes they'll catch a couple of words or expand a couple of words, and over time they'll quickly find out that now he has written an extra column as compared to others. In other words, you try to mimic an existing Sefer Torah. That's true. But not everybody has that kishroin to be able to mimic it that well. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, Behilchas Ve'emtze Shita Dafka. Omer B'Shir Barabba. Omer Avkila. Okay, now we go off a little bit on a different subject. And now we talk about the final eight psukim that you have in the Torah. Those psukim begin with Vayomis Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. And as we'll see, we have a machloikis, how could this be written since HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Torah to Moshe? And Moshe wrote it down. How could he write V'yomis Shem Moshe Eved Hashem when he was still around? So we can have a discussion about this. Omer Bishu Bar Abba, Omer of Gidl Omer Rab. Shmoyne Psukim Shem HaTorah, the final eight Psukim in the end of Sefer Devarim. Yochid Koyri Oysen Bebeis HaKnesses. A Yochid reads them in the Beis HaKnesses. Now what does that mean? A Yochid reads them in the Beis HaKnesses. So the way Rashi learns is that you do not divide up and give this to two aliyahs. After all, you have eight psukim. We all know that a minimum number of psukim for an aliyah is three. So if you divide eight by three, you get to roughly 2 2/3. You cannot go and divide this into three aliyahs, but you can easily divide it into two aliyahs. Says Rav Gidl Amar Rav, no, no, no. Yochid Koyri Oysim Miskneses, it should only be read by one individual, one ole, and don't make two aliyahs. You want to see the Rashi? Rashi is about two or three lines above where we are. Yochid koyre oisan odem echad koyran. You only give one aliyah. Vein mafzik bein taim kidei lamid acher velikris. You don't go and stop after three or four or five psukim and say, okay, stop, make a bracha, go and call somebody else. No, no, no. All eight psukim go together for one olam. That's
how. The mafter as well.
What do you mean the mafter as well?
Well, after you finish reading, mm-hmm. You do that.
And you can read. Then you do. You read it a second time for the mafter.
Mm-hmm. Also, the eight complete.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, I'm thinking to myself now on when do we lay in the final eight psukim? We lay on Simchas Torah, and that is then the Chatzan Torah. And I don't think you repeat it after that. You have a Chusin Mafter, but that Chusin Mafter is for Shavuos. It's from Parshas Pinchas, so you don't have to repeat that piece. You just lay in the last eight psukim. Then you go on to Bereishis, and you lay in the beginning of Bereishis, until Lasois, and then you go and take out the third Sefer. You don't have to take it out, assuming it's out already, and then you go and lay in from Pinchas. So you wouldn't have to repeat that portion again. But theoretically, if there were such an occasion, you'd repeat it twice. So don't interrupt in the middle. Zok the Gemara, that's Rashi's pshat. Tosis has a different pshat. If you look at the second Tosis, Shmoyne Psukim towards the top of the Yomid, Harav Mishulam Hoye Mefarish Lemutei Shele Yikra Shatz Imoy. That means that normally, like we have on a regular basis, you have a Bal Korei and you have the Ola. Here, these eight Psukim are special. You only have the Ola reading. You would not have the Bal Korei read together with him. Rather, he lays on his own. And if he cannot go and lay, then just the Bal Korei gets the Aliyah. In other words, give it to only one individual. There shouldn't be two people up at the bima at the same time. At the times of this Gemara, typically the Ola read the Aliyah, and he didn't have a Shliach Tziba, meaning a Bal Korei, reading for him. By the Megillah, two people laying at the same time, in other words, you have a Bal Korei reading it out loud and somebody else saying it, quote-unquote, quietly, you could still be Yotze, because Imara says that anything which is very desirable, people listen to very, very carefully. So when you're talking about the Megillah, everybody wants to hear the Megillah and hear all about Mordechai and Esther and the Vashti and the whole kit and caboodle, and know when you have to go and bang, when you have to scream, and all the rest. That by Torah you didn't have two laning at the same time, only one and not two. But rather, Rashi is the real pshat. What is that? Don't split it up 4 and 4. Today, we do have that meaning. You have a Bal Korei, so there's not to go and embarrass someone that doesn't know how to lane on his own, because otherwise people go up, you're calling me up, you can't lane, so therefore you always have a Bal Korei. You have the same thing by Bikurim, Sheskilu Shemakrin Esakoi, so that a farmer who is illiterate that comes in and brings his Bikurim, he shouldn't stumble over the words, so therefore you have a Bal Korei on his behalf, or the Koyin that lanes on his behalf. V'chein Ahid, Perek Vasret, Nidan, Nidan, Sheskilu Shematbilim, Kalim, al gabe kol hanoshim, that they would go and toivel all of the women's clothing, so that one shouldn't say, oh, she knows about hilchas nidah, she doesn't know about ksamim, etc. So they just did one rule for all, so we didn't have anybody being embarrassed. Anyway, so that's, so therefore we have two pshatim. Pshat number one is Rashi, don't make two aliyahs, only one aliyah. And the pshat here, verbena mishulim, that only one person should read, don't have a balkori read together with anybody else. But there's a third pshat, which is brought in the Rambam, and it's also brought here in the Shita Mekubetzes, if one can find in the Shita Mekubetzes, because they cut it up between the Shita and the Shinui Neschois. And that pshat is, let's see if we can quickly put our finger on it, Vashim Emta Shita Dafka, no, there was a previous one, Sam, the Rebbe Shulmala, he was up, in Hakbet Lachan, anyway, the Rambam and the Shita has a third Shita, and that third Shita is that normally when you are laning from the Torah, you always have to have a minion, you have to have 10 people present as the laning, and you'll know whenever you have on Simchas Torah, when you have multiple batim, you'll always hear somebody called out, we need 10 people over here, come 10 people, we need to hear the laning here from this bay. So, well, we only have 9, send somebody over to the other one. Every time you always have to have 10 people present when you're laning. However, these 8 psukim, says the Rambam, and the Shita, if we ever find it, and other Gemaras can find it more readily, he says that the reason is, not reason, he explains, that biyochid means that you do not require a minion to lane these final 8 psukim, even yochid koryosin, even if he's the only one in shul, or the only 3 people, or 5 people, he can go and read it as if we're calling up. It doesn't say whether he makes brachas, but presumably the answer is yes, because we're saying these 8 psukim are different than the rest of the Torah, that even a yochid could read them. You don't need a tzibur, you don't need 10 people or whatever.
Rosh Zachar, when we read it a second time, I don't know, are we makbid to have a minion? I don't think so. Are we just...
Parsha Zohar?
Parsha Zohar at the end, let's say the certain women or certain people came late, they missed it, they had an emergency, Salah call. You need them to have...
I don't think they have an Ola then, I think. But
I'm just saying I don't think they have an Ola either. I just say they don't need a minion.
You just read.
Are they makbid to have 10? I know that certain places are makbid to have 10 people, but can't tell you halacha l'maisa because this is not not my okay. Bar your gemara for one moment. I'll give it back to you. Here they don't split up between the Shinui Neschois and the Shita Mekubetzes, so it should be easier to find.
The first one.
This is the first one. You're saying
Shita Mekubetzes.
The question is, where does it say over here about the echad? So where do we see over here? Hey, boys. This is an ois chav beis of the regular Shita Mekubetzes. Yesh mafarshim yachid koiri oisam she'ein tzorech likreis b'minyan shel asara. Diomrinan, we have in Masechtas Megillah, Ein Koyrim B'Toyra Pochus Ma'asorah B'nei Adam, U'Bahanoch Gimel Psukim Ein Lochosh. Here, you don't have to have a minion. If 3 people went out, you can continue laning as if nothing happened. So that's the Yochid Koyra Oysan. That's here, Oyschof Beis.
Well, here it says we need a
minion. That's how the Rambam learns Pshat.
Here it says normally we need a minion, so I'm wondering with Parsha Zohar there.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're asking.
Looks like when we land in the Siyam here, the first days of Nisan, I mean, I don't think sometimes people are already leaving and we still take out this. It's not. It's,
that's not an official laning. That's a minion. That's not
the Parsha Zohar you're talking about is not an official laning. It's not part of this regular
The Arba Parshis. It's one of the Arba Parshis.
No, same thing. But it's when he's talking about they take it out.
Take it out just for women.
At the end of the davening, right? The people women. Come late.
Okay. Well, we don't have that problem over here, Baruch
Hashem. They come at all. Yeah. Have the Johnny come late.
Exactly. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so there's the 3 pshatim about the Yochid Koyri Oysam. We haven't explained yet why these 8 psukim are special, except we mentioned the Yobas Shom. But now the Gemara is going to explain. Why, Kiman, says the Gemara, that Rav said that these 8 psukim, Yochid Koyri Oysam, is Kiman the Lake Rib Shimon. The sign we have a price. It says in Pasuk Yomis Shem Moshe Eved Hashem. Efshe Moshe Chai V'Kosav Yomis Shem Moshe. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and he's writing about himself that he passed away? El Ad Kam Kosav Moshe. Until this point in the Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it from Bereishis until these eight psukim. Mikan Ve'Elech, starting with these eight psukim. Kosav Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeshua Ben Nun was the one that was mashlim the Sefer Torah, Diver Reb Yehuda. And others say Reb Nechemiah. So what do I see from this? That these eight have a slightly, if you will, I don't want to use the word inferior, but they're not on the same level of Kedusha V'Tahara like the rest of the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it, Yeshua Ben Nun wrote it. And therefore, that's why they are different than everything else, and that's why don't make two aliyahs, don't go and you don't need a minion for it, you don't need a second Balkore, etc.
So when Hashem gave Moshe the Torah, you ended up
giving him something short. Amalei Reb Shimon, Efshe Sefer Torah Choser Ois Achas Uksiv. Earlier on in the Torah, it says Lakoyach Eis Sefer HaTorah Hazeh V'Samtem Oisai B'Tzad Aroyim Bris Hashem. And the Sefer Torah is not complete yet. Can you imagine a Sefer Torah today that's missing an Ois? It's not complete. It's Doch Gorish. To have the sanctity of a Sefer Torah, it has to be totally complete. And it says Lakoyach, go and take this Sefer Torah. So that doesn't make sense, says Reb Shimon. Elavada, the Sefer Torah was complete. The Ad Kana Kadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one that dictated it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe then, our Gemara says Koisev the Oimer, but Rashi changes the gears to Oimer the Koisev, that Moshe Rabbeinu would repeat after Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then he would write it down. That Mikan Ve'Ela period. So from Bracious until these eight psukim, Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated, Moshe repeated it, and then he wrote it down. From this point on, Moshe Rabbeinu, number one, he was no longer Oimer v'koisev, and number two, he didn't write it with ink, he wrote it with his tears. So now, what's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat it? So, first, if you look at the Rashi, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oimer Moshe, Oimer, Achrav Kadesh Layita, Biksav v'koisev. And this, I believe, is brought lahalocha. I'm not a sefer, but I believe it looked a lahalocha that a sefer as well, he is supposed to look into a second sefer to be able to mimic and look from it, and then he should first say the word, and then he should go and write it down. This will hopefully ensure that he's not going to make a mistake by writing the next word, the previous word, whatever. He repeats it, then he writes it, etc. But mikan ve'ela moshe koizu v'dam avalei hoya oimer acharov miroiv tzaroi. He didn't want to repeat it because he was Nebuch Betzar, that we're now telling about his downfall, about his passing away. If I'm not mistaken, the Maharsha says in the back that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not repeat it, because he didn't want to be, he was careful about saying a Dvar Sheker. How could he go and say out loud, V'yomis Moshe, he himself was Moshe Rabbeinu and he's still alive. So therefore he didn't want to say a Sheker. He's writing it down. That's why he didn't write it in ink. He wrote it specially in Demas, so therefore it would not have a real kiyum. It would only be such a temporary ksav and not a permanent ksav. So he got some mistake, Masha.
Hopefully Hashem will change his mind.
Yeah, halavai.
You have to read it that he wrote it with tears instead of ink. Maybe he wrote it with ink, but he had tears in his eyes.
That's how normally one explains the pshat nigmar. I'm happy to learn it the way you're learning it. But that's how many of the first learned the Dema, that he would wrote it.
You have to have Gio. This is not Gio.
So some say that Dema, that
invisible ink.
It fell into the ink, and he was writing both of them together, and therefore it's Beloshin Dimua. You have by Truma and Chulin, if it gets mixed together, so it was a mixture of the tears together with the ink. But there's in fact a pshat of the Gra, that when it says a Koisa B'Dema, that he didn't go and split up the words like we have them split up, but rather he wrote from Vayomas until the end of the Torah one long, long, long word, and then they have to go and divide it up later on in the future Sefrei Torah. But at least the first time he wrote a B'Dema, mixed together, in other words, without any spacing between one word and the other, between one Pasuk and the other, so that, once again, to avoid looking like a Sheker, because it's one long, long, long word. Anyway, Moshe Koyz B'Dama, K'moshe Nemel Alon, like it says similarly in Sefer Yirmiyahu, V'yoyim Lehem Baruch, Baruch was the Sefer, Baruch Ben Neria, he was the Sefer on behalf of Yirmiyahu Novi, and he said to the Oilam, Mipiv Yikra Elai Eskal Edvorma Ela, What I am writing down for you now, you should know, I didn't make it up. I heard it all from Yirmiyahu Hanavi, and I'm writing it down. And he too, Baruch, did not repeat it word for word like by all like these eight psukim that he didn't repeat. Why didn't he repeat? Says Rashi, because the next lines after this in Yirmiyahu are divrei kinois, in other words, lamentations about terrible things that are going to happen. And he also was so tzitreisel, so upset, so trembling, hearing the terrible news from Yirmiyahu. Therefore, he didn't want to repeat it. Meroiv tzarei. So that's the connection between the two. In both al tzar of the kosev, they didn't repeat it. Anyway, zokti gemariyet leimad loik Reb Shimon. Since we said that according to Rav, these eight psukim yochid kari oisan, we had the three separate psukim, three separate pshatim. Says Yimar, command the like Reb Shimon, it's not like Reb Shimon. Why not like Reb Shimon? Because it's Reb Yehuda, the Amila, Reb Nechemia, that said that the reason why these are special is because they were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were written by Yeshua ben Nun. That's why, makes sense why Rav would say that these eight psukim yachid koyri oisar. But according to Reb Shimon, it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these psukim as well, so the choyri shouldn't be a difference between any of the preceding psukim and these final psukim. So Gemara, lame with the like Reb Shimon. Gemara, no. I feel the same Reb Shimon. Hoyul ishtani ishtani. You can go learn like Reb Shimon as well. What means ishtani ishtani? That since there is a shinui in these last eight psukim, one shinui is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not repeat it when he heard it from Rabbi Yishvel. Another zuntait, he wrote it bidmo'ois, bidema, or another pshat that he mixed all the letters together, meaning he didn't divide between one word and the other. So since there is a shinui, it may not be in the same level of shinui between Moshe and Yeshua ben Nun, but it's far to shinui, and that's why Rav's halacha could apply even according to Reb Shimon. Now a brand new thing. But to that, again, we continue into Hilchei Stambam. Reb Shua bar Abba Omer Rav Gidl Omer Rav Halakeach Sefer Torah Menashuk. Everybody is supposed to write a Sefer Torah, own a Sefer Torah. What happens if you go to the marketplace and you go to a Svarim store and they have a big sign in the window, clearance sale, we have an extra Sefer Torah here, and you go and buy the Sefer Torah. Says Yimar kechutif mitzvah menashuk. It's as if he's chapping a mitzvah. What means he's chapping a mitzvah? Says Rashi, mitzvah ovad. He did a mitzvah, he owns now a Sefer. Aval iyev kosev av a mitzvah yaseir etzvei. If he would write a Sefer Torah, if he would commission the writing, or write it himself, or commission a Sefer to write it, that would be a much, much greater mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah with a small M, Gesundheit, a small mem, as opposed to a mitzvah muhuderis with a capital mem. Kosvoi, if in fact he did write it or had a sefer write on his behalf, ma'alav kosvoi kibbul mehar Sinai. Well, you see the difference between buying a sefer and commissioning the writing of a sefer, the difference between chapping a mitzvah and have a new kabbalas hatayah. Omer of Sheshes, im higia filo ois achas. What happens if you have a Sefer Torah where there is a mistake, and your magia, even one ois, malavakosav ki lekosvai, Torah treats it as if you wrote a brand new Sefer, because if it's not a kosher Sefer, it's gunish bad. But now if you fix it, and now you're able to write, read from it, so then it's as if you have a brand new Sefer. Tanravan, oisa odom yiriyam mibas sholish dafen viad bas shmoine dafen. Pochus mikan viyesra kein lo yasem. Now we are getting into the mechanics of writing a sefer, and you have to write a sefer, of course. The Gemara calls it a yiriyah. Yiriyah means a large, large segment of parchment. And you take that segment of parchment, and you can subdivide it now into dafen. Dafen means columns. You should not have less than three columns, and not more than eight columns on one large yiriyah. Bachas mikam v'yasakim l'yase. What's the reason why? Says Rashi on the Mefarshim, because it's not a hiddur, it's not noi. You want the Sefer Torah to really look pretty, so if you have it more or less uniform, then it looks pretty. But if you go and find narrow yiriyos, and then wider yiriyos, and wider and more narrow dafim, it doesn't have that same beauty. So therefore, you want it to be a zekei levandeyu, so make it from three up to eight, but not more than that, not less. V'lo yarbe b'dafim, nesha nira igeris. What happens if you have a large segment of the of urea, and now you want to go and put dafim means kalim in them. So under normal circumstances, this urea could only hold l'moshel 6 or 7 kalims. But this person wants to maximize his profits and minimize his overhead expense, and he figures, you know what, I'm going to go and make smaller kalims. Not smaller in terms of smaller font, but rather he's going to make that each column, instead of having, let's say, 30 letters per line, he's going to go and do 28 or 25 letters per line, so make them a little bit narrower in terms of the columns. That also doesn't look nice. And the more simply, generic igeris, it looks almost like you're writing a letter. I guess the letters, they also had different sizes or smaller margins in terms of the columns. So you might be dafim, also don't go and make less dafim, and the she'ina mishoytetek. What means less? That if he goes and makes wider dafim, so therefore on a yiriyah that normally could hold twice 5, he's only going to go and write 4. So what are you going to do with all that extra space? He's going to go and make each line, instead of, let's say, 30 letters, he's going to make it 35 or 40 letters. And as a result, he'll use up more space by using less columns. That's also not a good idea, not only because of the noi, the hidur involved, if you have the ola or the balkore, when he's going from first line to next line to third line, he's going to have to go all the way back, and then he's going to lose his
concentration.
Not only concentration, he loses his place in terms of going from line to line. Sorry?
His eyes will get lost.
Wander.
Will wander, exactly. Even here in our Gemara, you see, you only have 5, 6, 7 words per line. So you can easily go from one line to the next. But what happens if this would be a line that has 30 words on it? So you finished all the 30 words, and now you go to the next line. Is that the next line? Maybe I skipped a line, maybe the line before, and the line later. So it's kind of flying over, and you're not exactly sure where you're going to land, whether you're going to land on the next line or not. So therefore, make it uniform, not too long, not too wide, not too short. Ella, so give an example. Go in l'mishpachoyseichem. The word l'mishpachoyseichem, if you add up all the letters, it should add up to 10. And the Gemara tells us l'mishpachoyseichem gimel pa'amim. Just in case you didn't know how to write l'mishpachoyseichem 3 times in a row, so you have in the parentheses l'mishpachoyseichem, 3 after the other. So therefore, that means 30 letters per line, because l'mishpachoyseichem has 10 letters in that word. So that's why the Gemara gives that example of 30 letters per line.
Why that word,
how many words do you know that have 10 letters in them? So the Gemara gives it as a convenient example of 3 times 10. Nizdavna lo yiriya bas teisha dafim. What happens now if I find the yiriya, which is very, very large, which can accommodate 9 normal columns? We just said, now you're not supposed to make more than 8, so what do you do? Le'yachlik sholish lekan v'sheish lekan. Don't divide up 3 and 6. Ela arba lekan v'mechamish lekan, 4 and 5. And the reason is, again, Rashi says, because you want to make it uniform, and if you have the stitching and the seams too close together, too far away, or if they happen to be totally without any consistency, it's not nice. You want it to go and look like a nice Sefer Torah. So if you have smaller ureas, and then you have the seams, and you have the stitching, and then you have these larger ones, you know, a mile away, it looks strange.
Yeah, but it's without the stitching. You have to have a capacity of 9 columns without the stitching.
Yeah, that's right. That's so a very, very large urea.
It doesn't look from one column narrow to very large next to it. Maybe by doing 5 and 4, they're pretty close in size.
So exactly. That's why you should do it 5 and 4. If you want it, you should not use such a large urea. You have to cut it down to size.
You have to cut it.
Yeah, 100%. You have to cut it. No question.
And then sew it back together.
It looks
regular. It doesn't look.
It looks consistent. Looks normal, instead of having 2 or 3 tikvetched, the smaller ones, and then all these very long ones. So it should have a certain symmetry and a certain consistency.
Stitch and time saves 9.
For sure, especially if you have 9 dafim. Yeah, exactly. So the yachid sholish lekam sholish v'sheish lekam. Don't cut it up and make 2 ureas, 1 3 and 1 6. 4 and 5. All of this akpada is towards the beginning of the sefer. However, so if I say for a filiposik echad of a filu daf echad, what happens if you're now up to that final column? What do you do at this point?
Right.
Now you're a tzuris. What happens, of course, if you have a good sefer who's mimicking another sefer Torah, then he'll do it properly. But what happens if not? b'soif ha-sefer, if you come to the end of a sefer, afilu pasik echad v'afilu daf echad. Now what that sounds like is that on the final column you can have just one pasik altogether.
It doesn't sound right. We had the top of the daf.
Preitim pasik echad zolkadaita. How could that be? Ela eima pasik echad bidaf echad. What does that mean? That you go and stretch out that one pasik from beginning till the bottom. How would you go and do that?
Yeah.
You go and do one word on every single line. Presumably he has enough. Let's assume that the Sefer Torah has twice 22 lines. So he makes sure that he leaves over two or three psukim and he splits it up to have 22 words, one per line. And he can also stretch some of the words as well to go and accommodate the entire final daf. Shir Gilyan. Okay, so until now we spoke about how much you write. Now you also have to leave space. So Shir Gilyan. Gilyan means the margins. Milmata all the way to the bottom is tefach. Leave at least a tefach of space underneath the writings. Milmal on top, you only have to leave sholish of tzayis, which is a little bit less than a tefach. Tefach is typically four fingers, this is three fingers. Ubein daf ledaf, and now you turn between the columns. Kemalei revach roich of shtei tzayis. Leave at least the width of two fingers. Ubechumashim, if you're not talking about a sefer Torah, but you're talking about chumashim, like we had before, separate Torah scrolls, but only scrolls of one-fifth, a Bereishis scroll and a Shmoy scroll. So then that doesn't require that same degree of hidur. Chumashim ulmata sholish etzvois, you don't need a full tefach. Three etzvois is enough. Memal in the top, two etzvois is enough. Ubein daf ledaf kimuloi revach of a roich of gudul, that would mean of your thumb. Ubein shita l'shita, being between one line and the next line, kimloi shita. In other words, like skipping a line each time.
Double space.
Oh. Ubein teva l'teva, between one word and the other, kimloi ois ktana, leave at least a space of like a small yud in between. Ubein ois la'ois, between one letter and the other, kimloi chutasara, then you can have just like a chutasara.
A little bit of white space, just enough so you can see the white.
Good. What's the term chutasara?
The width of a hair.
Of a hair. So hair width, between one and the other. Hair breadth. Good. Hair breadth, hair width, very good. Hair. Ah, you might odom a sechav, loy mepnei revach shalmat, v'loy mepnei revach shalmal, v'nei revach shalbein, shita l'shita. V'loy mepnei revach shem b'parsha l'parsha. In other words, what happens if the sefer who's writing realizes that the person who put together this, the yiriyos and the dafim, as you know, there's something known as shirtut, otherwise known as sirtut, where you have to go and have someone make these invisible lines in the Sefer Torah, so that the Sefer writes on those invisible lines. What happens if he discovers that as a result, they didn't leave enough space at the top, or enough space on the bottom, or between parshias and parshias, etc. So what the Sefer might do is, if I'm going to start on the top line on that sirtut, from the top of my ksav until the top of the yiri, or the top of the daf, the gilyan might be only two finger breaths. And that's not enough. If by a sefer Torah on the top you're supposed to have at least three etzvos, so you're only going to be two. Or on the bottom you're supposed to have a full tefach, and the person who made the sirtut did it so low that if you write on that final line, then there won't be a full tefach on the bottom. So he figures, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use every one of those lines, but I'm going to write it in tiny font. Instead of writing big letters, small letters. No, don't do that. All the ksav should be uniform, because if you have one bigger and smaller, it doesn't look nice.
It looks
like menumer, the Gemara is going to say. It looks strange. So you might odem is a ksav. Loi mepnei. We had that already yesterday, menumer, right?
Right, yes.
That's where you get inserts.
Inserts. Okay, but here, that's the same kavan over here. It also looks strange.
Why doesn't he just leave it blank?
That's the remedy. You should do.
Well, actually, the person who made the Riyah might have had small fingers. It might have been he set my finger, he put his fingers, he had small fingers, he didn't understand. There's a standard that's by not, it's not, okay. It's not.
Listen, we all make mistakes. Ain't tzadik ba'aretz sheyasav tov liyachad. So you might odem as a ksav, so the soif was writing the ksav, he shouldn't go make it so small to be able to accommodate the Rebbe Shalmata, or the Rebbe Shalmala, or the Rebbe Shembein Shittah. Don't change the font of your writing, leave it the same way. You have more space, less space, and you'll have to work with the space that you have, but don't change the size of your of your father. The Lamin Neirava should be partial. Parsha, the Gemara didn't talk about that until now, but between every Parsha you always have either Stuma or it's totally open at with the Pshuta, yeah, exactly. But the only, with the exception, of course, the beginning of Parsha is Vayechi, because then Nistamu Eneyem, etc., and Yaakov Avinu. Sorry, but under normal circumstances, between each Parsha, either a few spaces open on that line or it's not on the next line. So here, I'm not going to have enough Revach. Don't change the size of your writing. Somehow accommodate it without that. What happens if you have a word that has five letters? You're allowed to go beyond the margin, but only two letters, not three letters. So don't write two letters on this on the line, and then, I'm sorry?
And within the margins of the column.
Within the margin of the column, you go and write two, and then within the margin, you wrote, write another three. That's prohibited. No, no. Sholesh b'tachadav. What you can do is, if you have a five letters, sholesh b'tachadav, three, which end off at the end of that line, at the end of the column, shtayim chutzadav, and the other two protrude into the margin. It doesn't look nice, but you can do that. What happens if you have a teva of two letters? According to what Rashi learned, on its own it has two letters, like S, S Haim. You can think of a million words that have two letters. So then, lo yizerken lebein adafim. Don't go and say, well, we just permitted adding two additional letters, so even if I have a brand new word of two letters, I'm going to write it there. Lo yizerken lebein adafim. Don't do that. L'choiz v'koizir b'tchilas hashita. Go and write it on the next line and start off the new line with that small word. Don't put it there in the middle. That's how Rashi learns. There's one difficulty with Rashi, and that is, why does it say Choizer v'koizir b'tchilas hashita? He repeats it and he writes it on the next line. What are you repeating? You just simply say, he's going to be a dafim, ela koizir
b'tchilas hashita. It's a carriage return. Choizer is a carriage return.
Exactly.
It's a carriage return?
For those who are typewriters, you hit the carriage return.
Carriage return. Okay, gotcha. Anyway.
What is that?
We're all dating ourselves.
Well, if you have no other date, might as well date yourself.
Very good. I have Mekashitim Nebetis here on the very bottom of the Omid in small little font. You're not supposed to make it smart for small font if you're trying to get to it towards the bottom, right? But if you have that there, everybody have that? Elachoysev Ekoysev. Koshek Tzas Lepidr Shirashi. My choizer v'koizer. What do you have to add the extra word choizer? Choizer means he's repeating. Why do you have to repeat the word choizer? For they have a little memer choizer. Kivin shaloi hischil b'soi v'shita. Ela choizer v'shita. She simply say, start writing in the next line. Upirish harav Eliezer migar maiza. A different pshat. Kigoyin shenizdam naloi teva shal hei oisius. Kigoyin like Avraham. Avraham has five letters. V'kosav hever. He already wrote hever on the first line. Then it toiser heim, and the word heim is now ibigiblim, it's left over. We just said, if you have three, leave it on the within the column, and two can protrude beyond the column. Since the word heim, heimem, is a full word on its own, don't start it and continue it into the margin. That's the choiser. Start again and write the whole Avram on the next line. Left out is what do you do with the Aver on the
remove
previous
it
line?
It doesn't make sense.
Presumably you have to remove it. That. So even though that line is going to be slightly shorter, no, what can you do? But don't start the last two letters, even though it's a continuation. We said Shtayim you're allowed to, but since it's a full word of Hay, go and
what,
repeat the whole word.
Meaning?
I'm sorry?
He has some meaning?
The word Hay has meaning, yeah.
And Aver has meaning too.
For sure. But the heim, the two letters on their own, has meaning as they, right? You have in conjugation, and he, so what you should do is remove those alaveis reish, or stretch the previous pasuk. Sometimes you see in Sifrei Torah, they can do an endomem. Endomem comes from here to Canarsi. Right. Why? Because the sofer didn't do a good job in spacing it.
You also, they stretch, I think. Right?
They stretch a little bit.
Dollar, I think, don't they?
Dollar.
No, okay. It's certain noises you can do, certain noises obviously you can't do. Anyway, so you stretch it, and you still got these three. So leave it out, leave that blank, and start the word from the next line. Don't go and put the hain in the margin, even though normally you can put the last two, but now if it's a separate word,
if it's right next to one another, you're not going to see it as a separate. In other words, you're doing Avraham.
Mm-hmm. But the Baal Kori is going to read Aver and then Avram, right?
No, it's not putting on something, it's putting in the margin. So it's right next to one another. You're not going to, I don't see how you're going to be Toa.
I mean, the aim is protruding from the first three letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's next to it. Smichas, Smichas and Parshas.
So that Rashi Takud learns differently.
It's not Dor Smuchim.
Okay. And the word continues on. Very good. Fine. Next. Hatoye B'Shem. Hatoye B'Shem means a person unfortunately left out Hashem's name in the pasuk. Vayidaber el Moshe Lemer. He left out the shame. Why did he leave out the shame? He was so terrified writing Hashem's name. He was so trembling. He forgot it.
Don't Israel go to the mikvah?
And he was so cold after going to the mikvah. So that's it's a real shame. You'll ask those. Anyway, getting back to Hatoye B'Shem, Goyer es Mashe Kosav. So what should you do now? You have to go and put Hashem's name in. And at the same time, you're also not supposed to kvetch, right? You're supposed to use normal font. So the Gemara says, Goyer es Mashe Kosav. For instance, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemer, if he wrote El or El Moshe, oyoyoy, I forgot to put in Hashem's name. Goyer, go and scratch those. The word Goyer means like taking cracks.
Scratch out. Usually, you
scratch it out.
Take a razor blade.
Take a razor blade. Right. That's correct. That's the way they do it today.
Goyer
means to go and erase it by using a razor blade to remove those words. And what do you do? V'toyle es mashe gorar v'koyses Hashem al mokem hagrar. What you do is write the name of Hashem now on that newly emptied space of the El Moshe. In our case, we have Hashem El Moshe Lema. You took out the El Moshe, scratched it out, and now you write in Hashem's name. But what about the El Moshe? That's your toila on the top, in between the shittin, like we had yesterday, that in between the lines, since we have the extra line of space between the lines, so you write them in smaller words on top, in between those two lines. But you don't want to write Hashem's name in two lines, because that's a shtickle. It's a shtickle mizoyim. So therefore, you write it al mokem agra divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first view. You're going to see we're going to have another three or four views. How do you do this? Rabbi Yehuda says, "I'm telling this Hashem. No, this is not necessary to go and scratch out letters and write the name on top of it. It's also not 100% so beautiful. So rather, just turn the Hashem in between the two shittos and have Hashem's name there, like with an upside down carrot." Going and showing that's where Hashem's name should be inserted. Good. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer af moichik v'koisiv. What's the difference between moichik and goyrer? Goyrer means that you wait until it dries, and now you go and scratch it off, such as using with a razor blade. Moichik means that it's still wet, and you say, what did I do? I left out Hashem's name, gefährlich. So he can go me moichik it now, whilst it's still wet. Now, by doing that, says Rashi, it's going to be a little bit of a mess. It's not, if you look at the Rashi, on the third, fourth line, moichek ba'oychak sivalach, it's still moist. The kois of Hashem ala machak hafapisha ina hoder kol kach goyer. When you do the scratching, you have to dry it out.
It's white underneath.
Exactly, and it's gefährlich. But over here, if it's still
it's
wet,
dirty.
It's going to be a whole blotch and all the rest. Right. That's why sometimes you see when if you ever get that final aliyah in the Torah, or if you're looking over the person's shoulder, you see the last few oisias very often are also a little bit not as pretty. And the reason why it's not as pretty is because of the fact that occasionally when you ask an individual to write the ois, and he's not a soifer, most people are not suffering,
right.
They very often go over, and therefore they touch two letters together, and then the soifer has to fix it, and he can't wait until the next morning, until it dries. He has to clean it up now when it's still wet, because everybody wants to, get the road. Get the show on the road, lomagayim. So therefore, you have to go and af moichik v'koisiv. You can go and fix it when it's still wet, even though it's not going to be so hot. Reb Shimon Shizuri Aimer Kol Hashem Kulay Toilin. Yes, I agree with what Reb Yosi said. You can be toilin Hashem, but only if you're writing the entire Hashem. Miktasa ain't toilin. Like Yud Kei Vavkei, don't put Yud Kei on the top and Vavkei on in the part of the regular. The regular
Shita,
good, but rather write the whole thing either in the Shita or on top, but not half and half. That is pasish. The mashmois of the Gemara is that by a regular word you could. So if you left out the word Avraham, you could write the Aleves Reish with a carrot to write the hey mem in the shita itself. In other words, you could divide up between the two. In loy al mokem hagrar v'loy al mokem achak. Then turn an oisai. It says Reb Meir. Shem Loz name Reb Meir. I disagree with all of these eitzes toivis. What should you do? Keitzer oisim masalik asiri kula v'goinza. Just take the whole urea that we're talking about and just put it into Shemus, because you can't deal with a shame which is totally in the middle, and you can't do it with the mechak.
Reb Meir was a sofer, he was a leveler.
Okay, so maybe that's the reason why he takes
it. He's a final word on it.
Oh, Itmar, so how do we pass him for all these five or six different days? Itmar Rav Chananu Amarav Halacha Toilin Es Hashem. He says the psak is that you have the shame hanging there in between one sheet and the other. Now, who's the one that said that sheet? That was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Bechana Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Halacha Moichik V'Koisev. No, you should do a machika and then write. Who's the one that said that? That was Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Af Moichik V'Koisev. Notice it's Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel who's paskening like Rabbi Yitzchak Tatana. These two, Rabbi Chananu Amar Rav, as well as Rabbi Bechana, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, these are already Amiroim, but Rabbi Yitzchak is passing like Rabbi Yitzchak, if you will.
There's rarely a Tana named Rabbi Yitzchak. My name is Rabbi Yitzchak, so I'm always noticing it. Yes. Yitzchak Migdala is the only other name I know for Yitzchak is a Stam Yitzchak.
Okay.
Unusual.
Maybe because they were always Moichikit and was always Nashitim and you didn't notice it. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Allah ke Moichikikoisit. Frey Timura. Why do they have to repeat the halacha? V'lei memar halacha kemar, mar halacha kemar. Let the first Rabbi Chananu Marav halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel say we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak the Tana. After the Mamishim the Apchiluhu, because there were other versions of the machlokes where Rabbi Yitzchak was the one that said Rabbi Yossi's halacha, and Rabbi Yossi was the one that said Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. So if you're just going to go and say we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, then what did Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yitzchak say? So therefore, to eliminate that potential confusion, they just say what the halacha is.
Substance.
Amr Rabban Barchina Amr Ula Amr Reb Chanina Halacha Reb Shimon Shizuri. We don't paskin like all of these, but rather like Reb Shimon Shizuri. Now, what did Reb Shimon Shizuri say? Kol Hashem Kulay Toilin Mitzosay Ain Toilin. That was Reb Shimon Shizuri. Vloyoid Elakom Malkim Shishon Reb Shimon Shizuri Halacha Kemoisa. Reb Shimon Shizuri was so special. Wherever you find him in any machlokes, we paskin like Reb Shimon Shizuri. So, Freitimar Ahai. Where was this statement made of Amar Ravin Bar Chinna Amar Ula Amar Reb Chanina that we passed in like Reb Shimon Shizuri here, v'layoy, but everywhere? Ilem aha, this Reb Shimon Shizuri that we had in the prior bright Reb Shimon Shizuri, I'm called Hashem Kulei Toilin. We thought say ain't Toilin. If that's the case, well, Itmar Allah, we already had Amar Reb Chanan Amar Rav Allah Chatoilin Hashem. V'Rabbi Bechana Amar Reb Yisrael Allah Amayka Bekoisiv. Then Isa Hunami Lema. Why did the Gemara only quote those two? Rav Chanan al Amarav and Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. It should have now also added the third one. And Ula Rav Chanina Halacha Rav Shimon Shizuri. How come this only comes in after we already said what's the halacha hilchas va halacha? Huh? It should have been part of that. It should be a three-way machlokes what the halacha is. Says Yimara, you're right. Ella haha. In fact, this that we just quoted in the name of Rav something in the name of Shimon Shizuri. El Machin Omer. Omer Ravin Barchina Omer Ula Omer Abchanina Lochim Shim Shizuri. This was not said on our Gemara. This was said on another Shim Shizuri, and he added Vloyoidal Komakim Shishan Shim Shizuri. But not this was not the first place and adding everything else, but there was another place where he passed Rav Shim Shizuri, and then he adds an our Gemara as well. So which was that Rav Shim Shizuri? So from here to the bottom of the Amid, into the Amid Aleph, we're going to be quoting four or five different machloikis, and Rav Shim Shizuri participated in that machloikis, and we're going to say, oh, he meant that machloikis. Eloha, what's that machloikis? So Rav Shim Shizuri Oymer, Afil ben Chomishonim, V'choyresh basodah shchitos imoy metaros. We're talking about the famous case of the Ben Pekua.
Oh, right.
Ben Pekua, as you know, means that you shechted a female pregnant animal, and after you finish shechting it, and you open it up, I'm sorry?
It wasn't a Kaiser Schmidt.
It wasn't. But anyway, after the shechita took place, now you want to remove the Uber inside. And how did they do that? By cutting it open, whether they did it through the normal birth canal or the Kaiserschnitt or whatever. But the point is, they discovered, wow, the baby inside is alive. In fact, after they opened up, the baby said, Shalom Aleichem, and started walking around. Can you believe that? So now the question is, do you have to go, if eventually you decide that you want to go and eat from that Ben Pekua, do you have to go and shecht it or not? So the Ikar Adin, the Gemara tells us you do not have to shecht. And that's why Rav Shimon Shazuri says, even 5 years later, this Ben Pekua is walking and talking and going and tumming around, and he's chayrish like any other animal. If this is, if you put a special sikra on it, or you put a special tag on it, and everybody knows Ben Pekua, then shechita is imatarasa. You do not have to do a new shechita. Can't eat it when it's alive, but you can just clobber it over the head like you do with a fish, and you can go and eat it that way. That's not the halacha. The halacha is because of Maris Ayin, we do not allow for that, because people say, all right, I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein's tzatzal, go and eat that, they just clobbered over the head and they ate from it. But it was a Ben Pekua. Who knows a Ben Pekua? So therefore, you always shecht it. But the Rav Shimon Shazuri held the Ikar Adin, you're allowed to go into it. Oh, so we paskin like that. Frank Timur, in my law, about that psak Rav Shimon Shazuri, it says, Z'iri om Rav Chanina halacha Shimon Shazuri. Then Isa, and if you're going to go and tell me that this collection of rabbis that we said the paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri, they said it on that halacha, Neima is who? Nami Leima. We shouldn't only talk about Z'iri om Rav Chanina, that's paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri, but we should go back to Ravin Bar Chimna Omer Ula Omer Rav Chanina. At the very least, it should go and say not only Z'iri Omer Rav Chanina, but Ula Omer Rav Chanina. Why doesn't he get special treatment there? Why does he get credit? Ella says, you might be 100% right. Ella ha. Rather going on another Shem Shazuri. But he's showing how you're Omerim. Hayyotzeh B'koyle V'Omer Kiswe Gev V'Yishdeh Eli Yitl Yitnam. What happens if you have a regular individual, or maybe a slightly irregular individual, who Chas V'Sholem wants to divorce his wife, Rachmanu Litzlan. And he goes over to the Bezin or the Soifer and he says, Kiswe Gev V'Yishdeh. I want you to go and write a get for my wife. And then he pays them and he does it and they sign it and blah, 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 blah. And then this husband decides to go to Medina Siyam. Do we have the authority now to go and give the get to the wife? Because after all, the husband commissioned the writing and he paid for it and he told him, yeah, write the get and make sure it's betachlis akashris, not more than 8 urias per, 8 dafim per uria.
12 lines,
exactly. And they did a great, great job. And they wrote it. The question is, can they now give it to the wife? And the halacha mesechtes gittin is no. The only time you give it to the wife, if he said, Kisvu utnu.
Right.
However, there may be certain circumstances where the husband is under so much duress that he can't even speak and think normally. So, for instance, hayu oimrim. Initially, they said hayoytze b'koyle. Hayoytze b'koyle means it's someone that unfortunately is now being taken by the Romans or the goyim, whatever, to be chas v'sholem executed. And the word kohler is similar to the English word collar, and they took him with a chain around the neck, schlepping him, and he calls out in the audience, Kisvu get ishti, please, somebody write out a get for my wife, that she shouldn't be stuck with for Yibam issues, because his brother lives somewhere in Soviet Russia, and they don't allow the people to come out, and so therefore she'll never be able to remarry, so Kisvu get ishti. Even though he didn't say Kisvu to know, Hari Elo Yichtu V'Yitnu. Why? Because he didn't have all of his mind faculties. He's never been taken lemisa. So he said, "Kiss." We really meant kiss with him. That was Berishayin. Chazu loyma. Then they said, even under less traumatic circumstances, from mafarish v'yoytz b'shiyar. Mafarish means someone who's going out by yam. It means he's going a sea voyage from here to Europe or something. And of course, they didn't have the Titanic in those days, so they didn't know for sure that it would sink or whatever. So the person was a noivis. And the Yotz B'Shirah, somebody's going to go out on a caravan through the Midbar, and he's going to have all different types of gangsters, and who knows, holdupniks and pirates and all the rest. So once again, if he said, Kisvu, go and give it. The B'Shem Shizuri, Oymer, Afim Mesukim, someone chas v'shom Mesukim Lomus, that he's never in hospital, and the doctors say he only has another day to live, or whatever. That type of situation, a Mesukim, he says, Kisvu, is Kisvu, no. So we paskin like that Rav Shimon Shazuri. And that's where this collection of rabbis that we had before that said in the name of Halach Rav Shimon Shazuri, they're referring to that halacha. Or Inami, it could be another halacha. Aha. What was the other halacha? Trubis Meisah Shol Demai Shechazlam Koyme. Rav Shimon Shazuri Oymer Af Bechoyl Shoalei V'Oichlov Al Tif. As you know, Demai means that you bought Tvua, Pedris, whatever, from an Amoret, and you're not sure whether he gave Maisris. He certainly gave Truma because he mechita achas b'teres sakri, but in terms of Maisris, he might have given, might not give. So therefore, that has a din of Demai. And the Chachomim went around Klai Yisrael, and they did a Gallup poll, and they found that Roiv Amaratzim Ma'asrenheim. But nevertheless, there was at least 5 or 10% that weren't, and so therefore they instituted this halach of Demai, and you have a whole Masecht of Demai, as you know, in Seder Zrayim. Okay, anyway, normally what happens, now you have a chover, you have a Talmud Chochem who knows the halacha, he bought Demai, and he has to go and give his own Maestris. Okay, that's what you got to do. What happens if it turns out that it's Shabbos? In other words, they bought it Erev Shabbos. The intention was to go and give Maestris, but they forgot, and they didn't have a chance, and it was late, and now it's Shabbos Kodesh. What can you do? So our Gemara doesn't quote that, but Rashi does. Rashi says, in Masechtas Demai, it says that if you bought Peiris, and now it's Shabbos, and you forgot to go and be Ma'aser them, what you can do is you can go and ask the Amoret, She'ale b'Shabbos, you can ask him on Shabbos, do you remember, did you give Maestris or not? And if he says, yes, I gave mice, I know I'm a uretz, but I gave mice. Oichel al piv, you're allowed to, because of the din of oinik Shabbos. Motze Shabbos lo yoichel ad shi'as, but not on Motze Shabbos. And once Shabbos is over after Avdolah, you cannot eat anymore until you go and give mice. Why do we go and believe him on Shabbos? Rashi says the reason is because of oinik Shabbos, but in fact, elsewhere the Gemara says the reason is because afilo amoretz in a mishakir b'Shabbos. I think Toises brings that over here too. You see, if the Toises over here, Trumas Meisr Shol Demai Shechazulam Koyma, then you see the last few lines before the wide lines, the reason why on Shabbos they were Mekel, or Pirish Bekuntus B'Shabbos Akilu Mishim Kavit Shabbos. People want to eat. Hayu Demai Derabonu, after all, the din of Demai is Rabon. Roiv Amoritz Ma'asunay. The Tamzeh will be Yerushalmi Masechtas Demai. That's a very good reason that this concern of Kavod Shabbos is greater, but you have to ask him. And if he says, Rabbi Yisai, I gave my sir, you can believe him. That an Amoritz is concerned about the dread and trepidation Shabbos Kodesh. He says, Loshan Ri, are you Shalmi? Chavrai, Mishmeid, Rabchnina, Mishim, Kavod Shabbos, Itiru, Vipnei Kavod Shabbos, Lomali, She'aloi, Al Yedei Eilo. So says, Rabbi Bibshem, Rabchnina, Amos Shabbos, Al Amoritz, Vu Oimer, Emes. You don't have to worry. Even Amoritz doesn't go and lie on Shabbos because of the sanctity and the kedusha and the holiness of Shabbos, etc. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, that's on Shabbos. Pshim Shazuri added one more shtikala. What was that? What happens if the Talmud Chochem, he gave Maisris and he gave Trumas Maisr? Trumas Maisr means Masr and a Masr. That portion you don't give to the Levi, you go and give that to the Kohen. Because it's Trumas Meiser, it has the same status just like Truma. Who cares if it has a status like Truma or not? The problem was, Chazulim Koyma. The Talmud Chochem, the Chover, put it all on the table. Here is the original Demai. Here is the Meiser. Here is the Trumas Meiser. And he was about, he went out for a coffee, or went to shul, he went to the Iskise, whatever the reason is, he left the room. And he comes back and he finds that his wife or the Ozeret, whoever it was, says, why are we making three separate things that merged all of them together? Ay, 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 ay. Now, what are we going to do? You cannot go and eat from them if you are a czar, because to go and be mevatel, you'd have to have 100 times by truma. Truma's mice, the same thing as truma, you have to have 100 times. And there wasn't 100 times. So the whole thing is now dimur, it's all mixed up. The only one that can eat that now is kehan. So if you go and sell it to a coin, you're going to have to sell it at a bargain rate. Normally, a bushel costs a chvice, $10 a bushel, and for Truma it's only $3 a bushel. There'll be a Hefsin Maruba. Reb Shimon Zur Zoymer says, Af b'choil, even during the week, She'ala, you can go and ask the Amoritz, V'oichli al-piv, so not only on Shabbos.
Can't you also be sure on Truma?
I mean, they should go and be shoiled by the
Truma. Say the Truma I gave, had I known.
That may be the next mission, and that maybe is the mayor of Yehuda or somebody else. But Shimon Shazuri gives the Eitzah that you go back to Amoritz and She'ale, Ba'oichlon Piv, and he says you can eat it, Matoy Manuam, everything is great. Freit Timura, so maybe that's what these collection of Chashim Rabbanim were. Where were those Chabashim? Ilimaha, Omar. Ravin bar Chinna Amr Ula Amr Bchanina Halach Reb Shimon Shazuri Freitimor veItma La on those two Mishnayos that we just finished off, one the Gabi Hilchas Gittin and the other one the Gabi Hilchas Trumas Meiser Shol Demai veItma La Amr Reb Yoichan Halach Reb Shimon Shazuri v'Mesukan over Trumas Meiser Shol Demai. Reb Yoichan was the one that said, "Oh, we pass Reb Shimon Shazuri." Then Isa, and if in fact Ula Amr Bchanina said this halacha that halakha Reb Shimon Shazuri on these two Mishnayot, then who nami lema? Why don't we give credit where credit is due, not only to Reb Yochanan but also Ulam Reb Chanina? El aho, oh, we have a brand new Reb Yosi El aho Reb Yosi Ben Kippur Oy Mishim Reb Shimon Shazuri Pul Hamitzri Shazoroi Lezera Mektosli Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Mektosli Ach Rosh Hashanah. Ain tor mize al ze lefish ain tor min masu le min chodesh al yoshel in a yoshel al ha chodesh. Everybody knows you have to give trumas and maizus and eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, what happens if you have from year tovshin pei hey and you have from year tovshin pei vav? Can you go and give trumas and maizus from pei hey onto pei vav or pei vav onto pei hey? And the answer is you cannot. You have to give pei hey on pei hey. You have to give pei vav on pei vav. So what do you have? What do you do now? What happens? You have these two piles of Chodesh and Yoshan, and you're not sure which one is from this and which one is from that. Now, normally you would know, says Rashi, because typically by any type of yerek that grows, vegetables or other growth, then you go basa l'kita. So whatever you cut and harvested in Pei Hei, put in one storage bin. Whatever you harvested in Pei Vav, you put in another storage bin, and never the twain shall meet. However, by kitnius, this pula mitzri that we're talking about, you don't go basar lakita, you go basar hashrasha. Hashrasha means when it gets rooted in the ground. And since you can have theoretically two beans, one next to each other, where one the hashrasha took place in one year and the other one in the next year, and you no way of determining which way or the other, so therefore it's now big suffix, which one is the chadish, which one is the yashan, and I'm pulling my hair out, what should I do? So Reb Shimon Shazuri gave a wonderful idea. So again, starting Pula Mitzri Shazore Lezera Miktosi Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Some of them got mushrish, they got rooted before Rosh Hashanah. Miktosi Ach Rosh Hashanah. And you turn Zal Zeh. You can't go and give Truma one for the other. In other words, now if you do the harvest more or less simultaneously or consecutively or whatever, contemporaneously, more or less at the same time, you can't go and give Truma from one bean on the other bean. So Kate said, Yasa, what should you do? Just take all of the beans, mix them up thoroughly in one large garden, and now take 5%, 2%, whatever you're taking for your trumas and maizris. And then to turn umasim in a chodesh shaboy ala chodesh shaboy in a yashin shaboy ala yashin shaboy.
Kind of a braver method.
So if you go and take a large scoop of beans out and you say, I'm dedicating this for trumas, 1 out of 40, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 60, so they're bound to be both chodesh and yashin in the same thing. And then after you take your 10% of the maizr, etc., so you're going to take collectively each time both chodesh and yashin, and that's how it's going to work. So therefore, so maybe that's the Reb Shimon Shazuri that we were talking about, that Ula Amr Reb Chinin said Halak Reb Shimon Shazuri. So Tumar Itmar Lo Amr Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amr Reb Yochanan Halak Reb Shimon Shazuri Vim Isa Hu Nami Lema. Why don't we give credit to him as well, to the Reb Ula Amr Reb Chinin? How come we're only giving credit to in the name of Yochanan? And for Tumar El Amr Reb Papa, the Reb Shimon Shazuri is on the famous Shida case. Rav Nachmi Yitzchak Omar Ayan on the famous Yayin case. What are the cases of Shida and Yayin? And yet Shem we're going to learn tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Rabbi Yisrael Zagim and Zakizin. Thank you very much.